And as a little boy, my mum taught me a chorus. It's a chorus I've been singing all week long. It's based on Hebrews 13, verse 8. Now, I won't sing it to you because I can't sing, but let me quote it to you. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. If there was ever a moment we needed to hear this truth, right now is the moment. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Now, this is a verse many of us know so well. We could quote it without looking at the Bible. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. It's a verse that we see stitched onto cushions, plastered on coffee mugs, engraved on tombstones and buildings and plaques. It's become in many ways like this standalone Christian slogan. And it's not surprising, it's a golden verse. It gives us assurance and comfort. But you know, sometimes familiarity with a truth can dull its impact. And sometimes when you take a truth out of its original context, you actually miss the point of it. And so today we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8, but we're going to have to put it in its original context. Now, you know that none of us know who wrote Hebrews. God, obviously, overall. Some think the Apostle Paul may well have been. Others are less sure. But the unknown author of Hebrews wrote this letter to a group of Hebrews, that is, people who were born Jews and had come to know Christ their Messiah. And because of persecution, many of these Hebrew Christians grew really discouraged and weary, and the temptation was they wanted to go back to Judaism. They didn't want to keep on keeping on with Christ. It was difficult. And so this unknown author, he picks up his pen and he writes this sermon to plead with them, don't go back. Stick with Christ. And he's absolutely amazing as an author because he uses a technique to convince them that Jesus alone is worthy of their faith. So you know how advertisers get us to get the new iPhone or to buy the latest gadget or the latest skin cream. They tell us it's better than the last one. They do compare and contrast. This is what the old iPhone could do. Now this is what the latest iPhone can do. And in many ways, the writer of Hebrews says, let's compare and contrast Jesus with all that was true under Judaism and the old covenant. And there's two areas that the writer of Hebrews is given to showcasing Jesus' superiority. It's in his person and in his work. So if you read the early chapters of Hebrews, Jesus Christ is better than all the prophets because he is the last revelation of God. He's far better and superior than all the angels indeed because God's angels worship him. He's far better than the high priest because he himself is the great high priest. And then he goes on and he shows not Jesus is only better in his person, but he's better in his work. Remember that in Judaism, the priests and the high priests would go day after day. They would offer the sacrifices of animals, bulls, goats, lambs, the blood. And it was all symbolic. Blood could remove the stain of sin. But Jesus Christ comes. And he doesn't offer for an animal sacrifice. He offers himself as a sacrifice. The perfect, spotless, without blemish. And he doesn't do it many times. He does it once and for all for his people. Christ is better. That's chapter 1 through chapter 10. And then you get to chapters 11 through 13. And that's where the practical instruction comes from this pastor. And the question is this. How do you live for the Jesus that is far better than anything else? And his answer is this. By faith. Hence the reason chapter 11 is the hall of faith. And then you get to chapter 12 and it says, fix your eyes on the author and the perfecter of your faith. And then you get to chapter 13 and he says, this is how you live your life as a Christian in this world. And one of the things that he's so caught up with is how do we live our lives in the context of the church? Verse 7. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. This is the original context of Hebrews 13 verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says, first things first, remember your leaders. In the original context, there would have been some leaders who had been moved on because of persecution. Other leaders who had stepped from time into eternity because their lives had been lost because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the author here is saying, remember them. Remember the fingerprints they've left on your life. Their teaching that has shaped you, the example that has encouraged you. So today, you know the most appropriate thing for us to do? Is to remember Kevin and Beverly and their faithful ministry among us. Do you know that God's people are to be thoughtful people? Remember. Consider. You know, it's easy to have rose-tinted spectacles of past generations of Christians, but I do think past generations of Christians have one thing over our generation. I think they were thinking people. We live such busy lives, such hurried lives, such distracted lives that we never take the time to just slow down and to remember. 2 years ago, this past week, I remember going to Heathrow Airport to pick up the Revel family. 2 years ago, we preached Hebrews 13 when we installed Kevin as the assistant minister. And I'm sure you've got memories of the last 2 years of how Kevin has preached, sermons have spoken, moments of pastoral care have met you where you are, lifted your spirit, where you've laughed, you've cried, where you've been encouraged, where you've been built up, where you've been in their home and received their love and their hospitality. It's appropriate for us to remember and consider. And we're not just to be remembering people, we're to be an imitating people. You see, again, I think past generations of Christians, one of the things that they were really good at is they lived maybe at a slower paced life as they watched how others lived. They copied and modeled themselves upon others. One of the tendencies in our day and age is that everyone wants to be original and unique and special. As Christians, we're called to be sheep who follow our shepherd, and God's given us under shepherds that we can follow and learn from and grow. And he gave us Kevin and Beverly, whose faith is worth imitating. Not because they're perfect, but because they point us to Christ. And so, here's some application right off the bat. If you want to be a thoughtful Christian, remember, consider, and imitate the things that have helped you. But the context is compare and contrast. If we're to remember, consider, and imitate our earthly leaders, how much more do you think it's true of Christ himself? We're called to remember him. We're called to consider him. We're called to dwell deeply upon who he is and what he's done for us. So you might know Hebrews 13 verse 8 off by heart. When was the last time you dwelled upon it? Turned it over in your mind? You see, here's the thing about earthly leaders. Kevin, myself, any elder, any deacon in this church. Our ministries have a starting point and our ministries have an ending point. We can transition from place to place. That's just a reality of life. Christ remains. Christ never changes. We're not a preacher-centered church. We're a Christ-centered church. All earthly leaders will disappoint. Christ never disappoints. No earthly leader can give us what Christ can give us. Only Christ is worthy of our faith and our deepest affection and our truest allegiance. And do you know the good news is the Christ who called, sustained, kept, used the Arevalos yesterday will remain today and tomorrow. And he'll use them wherever he sends them, and he'll use his people in this place today and tomorrow. You know, it's really striking that the verse, or at least the statement that comes immediately after verse 8, is, do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings. You know what seasons of change can bring? Instability. You know, when leadership shifts and emotions run deep, people can become vulnerable to drift and distraction and to confusion. And what does the writer do? He roots them in verse 7. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The message does not change, although the messenger's mind. Christ is the one we need. So very briefly, I just got 3 points. I just want to unpack, what does it mean that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever? For this to be the sole steadying truth that comforts us and encourages us and equips the Arevalos and us for what lies next. Look at what he says. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday. Yesterday doesn't just mean the day before today. He's the same as he was in eternity past. And he's the same as he was in the fullness of time when he came to earth. Now, the thinking among you will say, but wasn't there a change? The Word became flesh, made his dwelling among us, the incarnation, the miracle of all miracles. Listen, the point is his unchanging character, his unchanging nature, his unwavering faithfulness. You know, the Jesus who set his love upon us in eternity past, and the Jesus who came in the fullness of time and stretched out his arms on the cross and demonstrated his love to us yesterday is the same Jesus who loves us today. The Jesus who touched lepers is the same Jesus who draws near to the broken today. The Jesus who wept at Lazarus's tomb is the same compassionate high priest who prays for us today. The Jesus who said to his disciples on the night before his death, I'll love you to the very end, is the same Jesus who will love us to the very end. What he was, he is, and forever will be. Do you know, in the Jewish imagination, the picture they had of God, of his character, was a rock. The psalmist says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress. Lead me to the rock that is higher than mine. He's the rock of our salvation. He's our rock and our redeemer. What's a rock? It's this stable, unmoved, unshaken object. Everything else in life shifts like sand beneath our feet, but God remains firm. And so for these Christians to be told that Jesus is the same yesterday, they've been told about his very identity. He's the same as the God of Israel that they've sung about since they were kids. And church, we need to know that Jesus Christ The one we study in the Old Testament, he's the same as he is in the New Testament. And he's the same as he is to us today. We sung about his love enduring in Psalm 136. What he did for his people, he saw them in need. He came to them and he rescued them. He defeated their enemies. And what did he do for us? He came and he lived a life we could not live. He died the death that we should have died. He raised victoriously. And all that is true of him yesterday is true of him today. But notice the writer doesn't just point us back to yesterday. He points us to today. Christianity is not just about looking back to the past. It's about very much living in the present. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Now, we often speak about Jesus' finished work, and that makes complete theological sense. All that was necessary for us to be brought into right relationship was finished when Jesus breathed his last breath on the cross. He bore the wrath of God in our place as our substitute. But there's a sense in which that phrase is a bit unhelpful, because there's the ongoing work of Christ right now. So he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and the writer of Hebrews tells us what Christ ever lives to do. What does he ever live to do? To pray. So right now, like right this moment, what is Jesus doing? He's praying. For you. For the rebels. For all of us. Like, just stop. Don't miss this, right? The one who yesterday won our salvation is today praying for those he saved. For the original readers, these Jews who were tempted to drift back, who were weary and pressured to be reminded that Jesus wasn't distant, passive, or even absent from their struggles. No, he was actively present and sustaining them and praying for them and holding them fast. That must have been a great comfort. And brothers and sisters, as we go through change, we need to know that Jesus is for us today. Do you know, when you woke up this morning, today, you got new morning mercies fresh from his hand. Do you know that today he provided your daily bread? Because great is his faithfulness. All that I have needed, his hand has provided. Great is his faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Every single day we wake up, we don't wake up spiritually empty. I don't know if you know this, but we wake up spiritually full, because the fullness of God lives within us by the Spirit. Every day we get fresh mercy, fresh kindness, fresh grace, fresh strength, fresh patience, fresh provision. When you go to work this week, when you sit down in the classroom or the lecture hall or at the office desk, when you care for your children, when you visit the hospital, when you answer your emails, when you prepare meals, when you do things that no one else sees, he's giving you everything you need. He sustains you and me moment by moment. You know, one of the problems with us as people is that we sometimes, and this sounds strange and crazy, we don't realize how precious today is. I don't know about you, right, but doesn't life feel like painfully repetitive? Like this endless cycle. I think maybe clocks have something to do with this, right? You see the clock? Hands just go round, all the way around, back again. Round, all the way back again. And so sometimes we can think that, well, every day is the same. Monday becomes Tuesday, Tuesday becomes Friday. Weeks just blur into weeks. The older you get, life moves faster. But let me say this, God's word would correct us and say, time is not an endless cycle. History is going somewhere. Do you know that every single day is moving us towards God's appointed end? Do you know that we are not trapped in some meaningless repetition, but we are actually living meaningful days, day by day. Do you know that every single day matters before God's face? Because every single day is a gift from God's hand. Do you know that this morning is unrepeatable? You know, once today is gone, it's gone forever. It means that today, we must not pass time, we must not kill time, we must redeem the time. It means that today is a great day to remember, consider, imitate the Arevalos, and Christ our Savior. We'll never get this day again. We've got to use the time wisely. We've got to live it faithfully. And do you think there's a better way that we could live our day to day than in God's presence with God's people, saying thank you to Him and thank you for His Son who never changes? Do you know, if you don't understand time as God wants us to understand time, one of the areas that we can succumb to is that we think the things that matter the most are the big moments. Whereas in the Bible, the things that matter the most are the ordinary moments. The ordinary moments of Kevin's ministry, the unseen acts of service, the prayers offered in secret, the things done for no recognition. Those are the precious moments. But you know, the most precious thing about today is that we are Christ's. And Christ is ours. And better is one day in His presence than 1,000 elsewhere. We once stood guilty before God, but because of Christ we now stand accepted and loved. We once deserved His judgment, but now we're objects of His mercy. We were once far off, but now we've been drawn near. And when that reality grips your heart, what a day we have to live for Christ. But then thirdly and finally, Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. And when we think about forever, we might again be tempted to think of duration. But I think the point that has been really driven home is about the certainty that the Jesus who was and is and who will forever be is always the same in His faithfulness and sufficiency and love. The Jesus who saved us yesterday, the Jesus who's praying for us today, He'll be just as faithful to us for the rest of our days. You know, as Christians, today we're going to look back and remember the cross as we celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, remember His death. We're told to do that. We're going to look back and remember Kevin and his ministry. I've thought about today, but I don't know if it's ever struck you. In the New Testament, we're constantly called to look forward. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 9, we're told that Christ will appear a second time to save those who are eagerly waiting for Him. So the sense that we've got there is that Christians are to live with the expectation of Christ's future coming. So here's a genuine question that I've asked myself this week that I'm asking you. What is uppermost when you think about your future? As we think about our future, are we just thinking about future events, future realities? Or are we actually living in anticipation of Christ's return? Are we eagerly waiting for Christ to come again in glory? For Christ to come and complete salvation and to usher in the new heavens and earth? Are we waiting eagerly for our glorified bodies where we'll worship Him without distraction and sin or suffering? Hebrews says, without holiness, no one will see God. So do you know how you wait for God? You seek to live a holy life. You've been made holy in Christ, but we are progressively asked to live holy. And sometimes people can think holiness is this cold, hard duty, when in actual fact, holiness is living like Jesus before he comes. And how did Jesus live? Well, very similar to how Kevin and Beverly lived. He prayed. He taught. He opened his home. He opened his heart. He laughed. He cried. He encouraged. You see, if anything we could say as we remember Kevin and Beverly is we can say they helped us love Jesus more because he lived like Jesus. And so as we wait our future and as we seek to live for the return of Christ, how do we live with confidence? We live remembering, considering, imitating, anchoring ourselves in the unchanging one, Jesus Christ. Our world changes. We change. Our church will change. Christ remains the same. The Christ who was with us 2 years ago is the Christ who's with us today, and he's the Christ who'll be with us forever. The Christ who led our future 2 years ago and shaped that past, but when it was for us a future, is the Christ who'll take care of the Irrevelable's future and our future. But as we live for him today, let's fix our eyes on the author and the perfecter of our faith. Let's remember him. Let's feed on him by faith. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for the truth of your word that reveals to us your Son's unchanging character and nature. We thank you this is a word for us today. And we pray that we would remember him. We would consider him. We would imitate him. Thank you for giving us the Irrevelables who've helped us in that very calling. And we would pray that you who have been faithful to them in their past and in the present, you will just showcase your faithfulness in the future because you are their unchanging one, their rock and their redeemer and their coming savior. We pray this in his precious name. Amen.